Now then, let's go to Proverbs 18:1. We'll go right down several things in Proverbs 18 I want to go through. Proverbs 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermediate with all wisdom. Let's go down, put about two or three of them on the screen at a time if you can. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with enigmity approach, whatever, however you say that word. Okay, go on again. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom are as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Let's look at this. I'm going to read this to you in the interest of time. 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. In other words, your mouth will make you sick. By saying the wrong thing with your mouth, it will make you sick. A fool's mouth is his destruction. Now, most people don't understand that, even in the church. Because if we did, we would change the way we do things. We're sick too much in the church, and especially since Jesus gave us a better covenant, and he said, I bore your sickness and removed your disease. Technically speaking, those of us in the church should never be sick. But if we're sick, just like this last week, I had a bad week this week. Physical things happened to me. My physical body didn't feel good Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, I felt lousy. Although I was up and working, I tell you, I didn't feel good. I mean, like I say, if you was here Tuesday evening, you found out I didn't feel good because I only taught an hour and 15 minutes. I was tired. I was wore out. I didn't feel good. But I can see now God was showing me that I've been putting up with your nonsense, and it's time you stop the nonsense if you want to continue to walk in divine health. You've walked in divine health for 20-something years. Now then, do you want to continue to walk in divine health? Let me tell you, divine health is better than sickness and disease. I really found out this week, just by the not feeling well Tuesday and Wednesday, I said, God, what did I do wrong? Well, it was no problem. Just flooded them in. How many do you want me to show you? Isn't that amazing? You grumbled and complained here. You did this here. You got sharp here. You didn't do this here. I mean, over and over and over, man, they begin to hit me. So he said, I said, God, I repent. He said, okay, I'm going to accept your repentance, no problem. But I still cut my thumb. My air conditioner still worked. I still broke this, broke that, done all kinds of things, cost me money, everything. Did God receive my repentance? Yes. But was there a judgment to come along with it? Yes. I don't like that. I want to be able to sin and do it my way and then repent and God forgive me and it's over. Doesn't that make sense? That's what you'd like it too, right, brother? But unfortunately, I'm not God. He is, right? And see, the thing about it is, He puts up with our little nonsense until we learn the truth. Then after we learn the truth, He says, okay, I'll forgive you, but there's going to be a judgment. And that's why we have all the complications and problems we have. Isn't that right, Joseph?
That's right.
I mean, you're grumbling and complaining. More than likely, since you're driving new buses that you don't understand, probably you're like all the rest of the guys that start to drive something that they're not checked out on thoroughly. They come in and they push a button. It's supposed to do this. Don't know you got to do this, 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 and this first before this works. And when you push this button and you don't know to do this, put this here and do this and all the stuff you need to do, you think, well, this stupid bus, can't they build one that works right? Oh, you said that, huh? So you know what I mean, right? We've all been there and done that, haven't we? I remember whenever they first... How many of you remember when they first come out with the gear shift, you had to step on the brake before you could get it out of park? How many of you had... bit, since I used to be a mechanic, you have no idea how many we went to fix that somebody broke it because they said, I got my car and this brand new car, I couldn't. And now, who knows how many times they got in, stepped on a brake and no problem, come right in. But today they get in there and crank it up and they want to pull it in reverse and they don't step on the brake. So the gear shift's locked. And so they, and they finally get it out. But it cost them $150 to get it fixed. Next time they know, put your foot on the brake. You know, or you can say nice to them, ma'am or sir. Usually it's a guy. Usually the girls won't tear them up. But the guys, especially if the guy's in a hurry, and he rips it out, you can say, well, sir, I'm sorry, but if you'd have read the owner's manual, it said right here that you have to step on the brake before you can take it. It's a safety feature for children, so they can't put it in drive when you go into the store and leave your car running. Anybody ever heard of anybody that, on the old cars that go in and leave their car running and the kids are playing and they pull it down and it goes either backwards or forwards or runs over somebody or runs into the store? Ain't nothing worse than mama to be in the store and somebody hears somebody screaming and here comes your car with your kids right through the plate glass window in the front. So because of mamas that made those kind of mistakes so their kids could stay cool, they put a safety feature on it that you've got to step on the brake before you can do that. But, you know, if you don't know that, you sure can tear up a piece of equipment. And you can be fussing and grumbling and complaining all the time. And so that's what happens to us. Now then, let's go on to, let's see. Yeah, the next couple of verses here. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. See, we need to be careful about telling stories. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now think about what he's saying here. If you tell stories about people, these wounds will go down to the innermost part of your belly. And it will make you sick. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Now, people should not be, especially Christians, when we do something, we should never be slothful in our work. We ought to be diligent. We ought to be doing a good job. And whenever, if you're a Christian, you work for somebody, your boss ought to know that you're one of the best employees he's got. You know, you should always do everything that will glorify our King. I don't want to be a slothful worker, do you? No. You know, I want to be a hard worker. Oh, I got to tell you something else, too, this week as I felt rugged Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, by about Thursday or Friday, one night Cheryl come to bed. And, boy, every night this week I think she's worked till 6 or 7 in the morning. I mean, you know, she's just worked about Friday. I said, boy, you're working hard. She said, I have learned that God means business. And she said, I want Him to know I love Him and I'm working hard and I ain't doing nothing wrong. I thought, oh, Lord, my honey buddy, she's really working. She said, I've learned that God don't play games, you know, because, see, she didn't have any idea that way back yonder, years ago, that because of sin she had committed in the past, she fell out of a truck one night on her head and messed up her head, broke two or three vertebrae, I don't know, a rib or two, and Cheryl was in excruciating pain for 5 or 6 years until she finally met Eldon and Nancy. That's the first man of God she had ever met that could pray and touch God. And whenever he showed her the truth and Nancy and Eldon prayed for her, God healed her that night. But she had suffered for at least 5 years. 5 years because of sin. Didn't have a clue. But most Christians don't have a clue, do they? Don't have a clue. You are going to have these kinds of problems if you don't obey the King. And so that's why she knows she don't want another one of those bouts. That 5 years she had, she don't want another one of them. I mean, she's learned it's a whole lot better to walk in divine health. So, man, I mean, she's doing everything. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Well, we don't want to be that. Okay, the next couple of verses. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is his own conceit. Let's look at that in the NLT right quick, the 10 and 11 in the NLT. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The rich think of their wealth as an impregnable defense. They imagine it as a high wall of safety. How many people do you know think because they got lots of money, they're okay. Nobody can touch them. You know, we see this all the time. But it's not. Nothing protects you from God. Okay, let's go back to the other one and next two. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly to shame unto him. Next couple of verses. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man. But a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Now, think about that. The spirit of a man. In other words, your spirit, which is the powerful part of you that's in you that God made that is fed only from His Word. If you take that part of you, the spirit, then the spirit will sustain any infirmity that can come upon you. It will overcome it. In other words, I can't think of anything I'd rather have if I'm a man that has an infirmity upon me as having a man that's strong in his spirit to pray for me. Can you, Bill? That's the most powerful thing you can have. But if your spirit is strong, then you can pray for people. Now, if your spirit is not being fed daily, regularly, you won't be able to walk in this. But you need to constantly feed yourself with the Word and your spirit. Therefore, your spirit can overcome anything. Your spirit man is where the power's at. If your spirit is sick, then you're in trouble.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.